Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Growth Matters Radio.
Good morning. This is Michelle Matthews, and we're back here at Growth Matters Radio so that we can talk about sort of all things growth, talking with individuals, executives, and business owners who are trying to grow their businesses for today. And so I am really excited about the two panelists that we have this morning. Our first is Lynn Hood, who is, I love this, who is the top colonel for Cracker Jack Marketing, which is a marketing organization here in Atlanta that is focused on helping companies strategically position themselves in the marketplace. So that's really something that's important to make sure that you're out there with your market and understanding who your clients are and what they're trying to do. So we're really excited to have Lynn here today.
Thank you, Michelle. I'm excited to be here.
Great. And then we also have with us Jennifer Copeland, who is representing Probe College Fairs, and we're going to get her to talk a little bit more about that. And I'm really kind of excited about the conversation today because we're going to start with you, Lynn, and talking about the work that you do to help your companies strategically position their business. But we're going to also be thinking about kind of what's happening right now this month for those parents and those high school students that are really beginning to think about how do I think about college, how do I make those kinds of decisions so that I am better prepared to strategically place myself in the business world. So I'm excited to have Jennifer here and Lynn. So welcome.
Thank you.
Glad to be here.
All right. So Lynn, let's just kind of jump right into it. Tell us a little bit about Cracker Jack Marketing and your role as Top Colonel.
Well, in Cracker Jack, for a number of years, we were Hood Marketing Solutions. And so with the economy, with reinventing the way business is done, I had to come up with a name, and it just hit me, Cracker Jack, which means top, best, as well as a popcorn candy treat, which appealed to me very much. So I went with the Cracker Jack. And then it was Top Colonel became just kind of fun. And that is with a K, Colonel, like a popcorn kernel. So what I do is work with companies, some big, some small, a lot of smaller companies, a lot of startup companies. And it's really helping them define who they are. So when you look at a company that is saying, we're the best, you have to say, why? When they say, we help you grow, you have to say how. And so when someone says they provide business services, that could be anything from consulting to paper clips. Let's face it, Office Depot provides, even Home Depot, they have file folders probably, provides office services. So you have to get really specific. And then the other thing that I help clients do that I think is one of the greatest mistakes is they tend to talk about me. I call it chest thumping. We're the best. We do this. We can accomplish. And instead of saying, so when I hear this as the recipient, so what? Mm. What's in it for me? Mm-hmm. And I think that if you can put yourself into someone else's shoes, whoever you're trying to sell to, what's in it for me? And remember, that's what they want. And I'll share with you one of my favorite stories that's many years old, and I don't want to admit how many, that I heard in my youth, which is, I can tell you that I make the best dog food in the world. Great, you know, that's nice. But if I tell you I can help your dog live longer, that Fluffy will be with you longer, then that's affecting you. That reaches you at a personal level, and we're selling a benefit.
Great. All right, so you have me hooked because I have a dog, Jazzy, and if you could tell me how Jazzy could live longer, I absolutely am going to buy what your dog food is. You know, as a small business owner myself who kind of struggles with that, how do you – you know, set yourself apart when other people do strategic planning or organizational change. Really try to figure out what is that value proposition is hard. Do you find that it is easier maybe to do some of your work with clients when they have already been in business for a while and, you know, are beginning to figure that out? Or is it best to do that right when you start a business? How, you know, sort of what's your thoughts there?
It's really interesting because there's different degrees of difficulty with that. A company that has a personality, that has a way of working, you can pull that out of them. I mean, that's the challenge, is to go in and say, who are we? What do we do? And I do a process called a discovery. And we spend some time talking and say, and identifying what words identify who you are. How do you, you know, who are your clients? Who are your best clients? So we go through that process. Now, with a new company, you can just say, who do you want to be? Okay, let's make it up. And so it's a little bit more, it's a little easier with a brand new company. And then you give them basically a roadmap to live by. They have that basic elevator speech. They have the focus. Now, the interesting thing with a small company that's just starting out is that they tend to bounce around a lot, shall we say, and because whatever their latest feedback is that they get, they'll sit there and go, yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, listen, somebody wants us to do yellow. Yeah. We're lit yellow. And then tomorrow they go out and they go, blue. We're blue today. So that's the challenge with a startup. But it's amazingly to me, and you work with these companies, it's amazingly gratifying to help put them on the right track and to give them these tools they need.
Yeah. So give us an example. If I came to you, Matthews Consulting Group, we've been around 15 years. I think I have some idea of what our value proposition is. Walk me through sort of how you would help me if I really don't have a good way of articulating that value proposition. What are some of the things you would do with me to take me through the process to get me to the other side?
Well, we talk about what it is that your clients value and the services that you provide. And I think one of the first things that we would do is to realize that you're not trying to do this yourself. I think that's very difficult. Okay, so there's a little bit of self-promotion and you need to hire a professional. As you understand, you need to hire a professional in. It's hard to look in the mirror and do this. It's much easier to have someone guide you through it. So what I might ask you is, first of all, what do you most enjoy doing? So if you're doing three different categories of things, then which do you most enjoy doing? Which is most profitable for you to do? So let's focus on that. So then let's craft a message around that. What are the things that you do that are different from everybody else? What is your competition doing that you hear bad things about? So are they promising big and delivering small? Well, then you want to position yourself as delivering big. You want to have proof that you have 15 years begins that of proven experience. The fact you're still in business after 15 years, congratulations.
Thank you.
You know, that says a great deal about your proficiency. Is it because you listen? Is it because you translate? What is it that sets you apart and makes you different? And then we come up with a 25-word, you know, the elevator speech. And as I like to say, I had two guys one time within 24 hours of each other say to me, yes, I have my 5-minute elevator speech. You go, no. You're not allowed to stop the elevator. You have to get it in short. So you need to encapsulate it. And a lot of times we'll do not only what is your value proposition within that 25-word elevator speech, but I also help companies put together what is your soccer mom speech. You're standing out in the soccer field with watching your kid, or you're talking to your next-door neighbor, or telling your mom, what is it that you do? And you go, well, I provide value by enhancing the blah, 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 blah. Big words. And they go, yeah, but what is it you do? And you go, I help companies do better and do it more profitably.
Yeah. We all have heard about that sort of elevator speech. I'm not sure that I've ever heard sort of the number of words you should use. So that's very helpful.
25.
For me, 25. 25 or less. Can you name that tune? So just share with us an example that you have of working with a client that you help them better brand themselves, and then what were they able to accomplish as a result of that branding?
I'm working with a company right now named Cerity, and actually we were hoping to have them here today. I was going to bring them in, but They couldn't do it. They're doing cloud computing. It's a very complicated, high-tech field. There's a lot of competition. And so I've worked with them to simplify their message, to get some of the jargon out. I mean, we do have to say they have the best SLAs, and I can talk about a lot of initials now. I know a lot of initials. DAAS, Desktop as a Service, DRAAS, Disaster Recovery as a Service, everything's as a service now. So how do we take that and separate them out? And so we've done some, we've gone through and we've done the discoveries. We have brought in their technology guys and had them help us as far as putting together. I put together a form for these guys to fill out, and it became fairly simple from that standpoint. And it's like, what are the five reasons somebody should buy your product? What is it you do that nobody else does? And so we did this form, which we turned into a cheat sheet. That's given to a salesperson that can use that to get the background. Who is a good target for this? Who isn't a good target? And so by having those benefits and features clearly laid out, from that we put together sales sheets. These guys are moving so fast that we don't even have them. We have a very simple template that we pop it in within a Microsoft program, and we just pop it in, brand it, and send it out. And we're just moving through them too fast to be able to do anything else. Trying to make sure we get them on the social media and that sort of thing. So it's fun at this stage. They are so high growth and so involved with different people that we're running like crazy trying to do it. But it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. So have you had an experience? You know, again, I do consulting, and so I understand what it's like to work with clients. You give advice. You can sometimes see the big picture. You give counsel, and not every client always, you know, either follows the path that you've helped them, or you know, they have their own biases, et cetera. So, what do you do when you know you really see what is going to help them better brand themselves, but the executive is perhaps not ready to make a shift or do some of the things that would really help them grow?
That's always interesting. Yeah, it's very frustrating, isn't it, when you care, when you really care, and you can see what they need to do. And so that you're moving them, you're trying to move them forward, you're trying to push them. And all I can do is to try and rationalize, give them a rational reason. This is why you need to do it. This is what your competition is doing. This is what you're paying me to tell you you need to do. And if they don't do it, then there's nothing you can do. I always feel it's kind of like moving a mountain. If you can even get it over just a little bit, you've accomplished something, especially if you're starting way at the other end. This is corporate communications. You start way at the other end, and you're trying to move them over to where you think they should be. And anything you can do is good. And so you have to look at that at the end of the day.
Yeah, so as the top colonel at Cracker Jack's, you know, how do you build, whether it's partners or whether, I don't know, employees that you have that help your clients, you know, what kinds of skills are you looking for to help you deliver on your value proposition?
My particular skill comes back to writing. I found out back in high school that I like to write. It's what I can do. I can't sing. I can't dance. I can't draw. There's a lot of other things I can't do, but I can write. And so that's my core of what I do. I also like to – I've learned over the years, too, how to be a good editor. So I can take somebody else's copy and clean it up. And organize it and put that together. So I look for people that complement what I can do. Right now I work from a virtual standpoint, which is much more accepted than it used to be. But the people I work with, a couple of art directors. I can pick the person who's best for a particular project that way. So I turn that part over. So I'll take things and kind of pop in a few pictures or words or that sort of thing in a PowerPoint and hand it to them, and it comes back and it's beautiful. It's like, oh, so much better than I dreamed. I also know that project management is, in keeping up with the details, it's not always my strongest suit. And so I look for people that can help me do that. So it really is bringing together a group of people. And I like, from a virtual standpoint, if being able to change that up based upon the client's needs. A lot of times I'll go in and they'll already have some people in place. So it's a matter of me fitting my skills in to what is needed.
Great. Well, then that's really great in helping us have a picture of sort of the whole strategic branding piece and some of the things that Cracker Jack is doing. I want to shift a little bit to our other guest, Jennifer Copeland, who, as I said at the top of the show, represents Probe College Fairs. And you may be wondering, so if you've listened to our show before, we have it very interactive, and we usually have some connection between the two guests. So you might be saying, so how does this relate? And as I was thinking about both of you coming on the show today, I was thinking about one of my clients. So one of my clients is Georgia Partnership for Excellence in Education, and I was doing a board retreat with them recently, and they were really talking about, you know, and these were executives, I could, you know, name the companies. They're here in Atlanta, you would recognize them. And certainly one of the things that business owners are concerned about as they either locate here in Atlanta or in Georgia is thinking about education. And what is the pipeline? And so I thought to just sort of segue to you, Jennifer, was to just share a few statistics that might put the work that Probe College Fair does into perspective, if you'll allow me to do that. So 60% of jobs in 2020, it's estimated, will require some kind of higher education to be successful in those jobs. Today, roughly 42% of Georgians currently have a post-secondary degree, and we anticipate that there will be about 250,000 new graduates in 2020. The thing that I thought was really interesting, and I'm sure people have heard this statistic, is the degree to which, you know, we still are in our economic recovery, that the more we have high school students and college graduates to boost our economy, it's estimated that roughly $350 million would be increased in state gross product and about $18 million in the state tax revenue as we're able to ensure that our students graduate from high school and then go on to post-secondary education. So your organization is really trying to help us address that. So talk to us a little bit about what Probe College Fair is and how it helps us.
Absolutely. Really the mission of the Probe College Fair tour across the state of Georgia is to provide access to a wide variety of higher education and post-secondary options to students throughout the state. At its heart, and many parents are probably familiar with this because the concept of college fairs has been around for a long time, at its very heart, Probe has a college fair tour that goes throughout the state. College fairs are held in communities in every corner of Georgia, and colleges come together and are available for about a 2 or 3 hour period of time for students and parents to talk with the reps that are there. The beauty of this is Probe is bringing colleges and universities from across the state, across the Southeast, and from across the United States. They're bringing those colleges to the students. And so it's a great opportunity for parents and students to start shopping and start understanding what are the different options that are out there, which ones actually appeal to their students, and begin to formulate that list of schools that they will more closely consider as they get closer to their actual application process and schools they'll visit and that sort of thing. So at the end of the day, it all comes down to access to post-secondary education is what Probe is about. And as we were talking earlier, Michelle, the types of institutions that are represented are all over the spectrum. And so there are large research-level institutions like the University of Georgia and Georgia Tech, and then large state universities from out of state. And then there are also smaller private institutions as well as community and technical colleges that are there. And so wherever your student may fall in terms of their interests, their skill set, what you think the best environment's going to be for them, there are a wide variety of opportunities for them to explore when they come to a college fair.
So as we were talking earlier, you were saying that Probe is really experiencing some growth in that the interest is skyrocketing. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so over the course of the fall, in particular in the month of September, the Probe College Tour will host a number of fairs throughout the metropolitan Atlanta area, and they kicked off this week. And for the first time, we are seeing close to 200 institutions per fair. We will see close to 300 institutions statewide over the next 2.5 months. This week, the college fair tours were in North Atlanta at North Point Mall, in North Gwinnett and North Cobb. And at each of those fairs, they had over 160, in one case over 180 institutions. And those were record numbers of colleges and universities that were coming. We also had thousands of students coming at the Gwinnett Center earlier this week. They had almost 3,000 students and parents that were attending. And so this interest that we're seeing is not just in-state. The overwhelming majority of schools in the state of Georgia are attending these college fairs. But we are seeing at the fairs here in Atlanta, in particular this week, we had colleges and universities from all over the country. University of California at Irvine, University of Wisconsin, University of Vermont, the College of William and Mary, Johns Hopkins, schools from Michigan, Indiana, Illinois, University of Kansas, University of Kentucky. It was just, as I was walking through the fair and I had put together the list, I knew who was coming, and I was still stunned. And you could hear parents and students talking and saying, oh my gosh, I can't believe that that these schools really are really and truly are from all over the country. When you ask the reps why, because this is not an inexpensive endeavor for them to send someone out on the road and travel to these different events, when you ask them why is metropolitan Atlanta so attractive, it's because of the number and volume of students that are here and the level of preparedness they typically encounter when they're dealing with students that are here in the metro Atlanta area. So they see it as a very fertile ground to come and recruit in and really make an investment in.
And again, as we were talking a little bit earlier before our show started, you were saying that some of these out-of-state colleges and universities are, I can't remember the term that you used.
Yeah, regional recruiters, yeah. And it's a common phenomenon, not just in Atlanta, but larger metropolitan areas across the country experience this, where you may have colleges and universities that are a good ways away, but they have had a great history, or they want to have a good history of recruiting students from that particular area. And so there's a pretty significant number of, I don't know it off the top of my head, but there's a significant group of recruiters from colleges from all over the country that are actually based here locally in Atlanta, and their sole job throughout the year is to recruit students that are here in the metro Atlanta area.
Yeah, so the thing that you talked about when you began to share about Probe was it's all about access.
Yes.
And I have a lot of K-12 clients, and I also work in the higher ed space. And, you know, one of the things that we hear is particularly for those students that have not had exposure perhaps within their family to the idea of higher ed and what expectations are set to be able to prepare you to do that. Sometimes that's what the barrier is. It isn't that they don't have the academic, but it's they don't really know what they can strive for. Or I also hear sometimes it's that, you know, adult expectations of certain types of students are such that they don't push them to seek their broader horizons. So what would you say to sort of that group or that group of parents as it relates to Probe and the college fairs and how they can get involved and, you know, open their child's horizons?
Yeah. You know, I think that the biggest piece is it exposes parents and students to so many opportunities that are out there for students. If you ask the average person to name some schools, some colleges or universities in the state of Georgia, we all know which ones they're going to tick off. The ones they're going to list off. They're going to list off the ones that are on, you know, that play football every Saturday and obvious ones like that. And I think sometimes people just kind of forget that there are so many other opportunities out there. And so that's really one of the things that Probe really seeks to do, is to give students exposure to a wide variety of institutions. And so one of the first things that I would suggest that parents do, because they play a critical role, even if the parent doesn't have experience themselves having gone to college, they still play such a huge role in helping their student understand what's out there. So I think for the parent, one of the first things you want to do is think about, what are the different types of schools that we might be encountering? At Probe, we maintain a list for every single college fair. Every college that we expect to attend is listed on our Facebook page, facebook.com/GeorgiaProbe. And so parents and students can go online in advance and see these are all the different types of schools that are going to be here. Let's start giving some thought to beyond the obvious ones, the obvious large schools that perhaps we've heard of because we see them play a sport throughout the year. Let's think about some of the other ones that are there and start exploring what are different options. What are some of the, you know, what does it mean to attend a research level institution versus what does it mean to attend a regional institution? What does it mean to attend a community and technical college? What type of programming do they offer? What type of student skill set might be best plugged into those? But really, it's doing a lot of that homework. So much of it is preparation in advance. And you don't have to arrive into this process with a wealth of knowledge and experience in higher education. You just have to be willing to learn. And so researching what the options are out there and what you really think might be best for your student is usually a really good place to start.
And at what grade level should they start?
That's always the magic question.
I'm sorry. And as a parent.
It's funny you ask that because I literally, sitting out in the waiting room earlier, I got a text from a friend of mine whose daughter, her oldest daughter, is a sophomore in high school. And she said, because of my background in higher ed, she said, I really want you to start working with Kaylee on thinking about schools. And that's a great time to start thinking about it. So start, you know, I think that a common thing I hear parents telling their students when they get to the freshman year of high school, they start saying, okay, the slate starts now, mm-hmm. and it's real now, and your transcript is this year is going to be seen by colleges and universities in just a few short years. And so I think that kind of realization and awakening the freshman year is a good idea. But starting to think about things probably in that sophomore year is good. Students change a lot, obviously, mm-hmm. between sophomore and senior year. But starting to think through what all is out there. They don't have to make a commitment. But starting to think about what are their different options and starting to shop and look around.
Yeah, so you say sophomore. I'd also add maybe a little bit of a twist to that just based on I work, as I said, with a lot of urban mm-hmm. School districts. And what you'll see at some of the schools, for example, KIPP, which is a charter school right. here in Atlanta, is nationally based, is they're really starting much earlier than that to get their – particularly children that have not always assumed that they're going to go to college. Yeah. So even in elementary school, they're beginning to get them to understand what a college is, understand that in order to do that, you have to have discipline and focus on your grades. Because kind of to your point, at your sophomore year, you probably are really beginning to look and say, now is sort of when it counts mm-hmm. and when I need to be focused. But helping students assume they're going to go to college then prepares them so that when they are a sophomore, now they can be much more diligent and thinking about this. And this is really an important issue, again, tying it back to growth, because our students today are what attract – our pipeline of students is what tracks economic development here to Atlanta and throughout the state. And so if we're not thinking about not only when they're sophomores and college, but from the very beginning, how are we preparing our students so that they will be able to compete and they will be able to bring innovation and they will be able to do those kinds of things for the companies that are here? Without that sort of strategic thinking, we are not going to continue to be competitive.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. I think that some of that in those early years is setting that expectation that this is what the goal is, and here's the reason why. Helping the student as it becomes age appropriate, as they're coming through elementary and into middle school, why is this important? Why do you want to take advantage of something beyond 12th grade? Why in the world would you want to continue in school might be the basic conversation there with students very early on. But really setting that expectation, and then as they get older, connecting those dots to demonstrate why each of these choices that you're making coming into high school really do set you up for being prepared, you know, for that quote-unquote, it all starts counting, that freshman year. So much of it, you want them to arrive prepared for that and already thinking college bound and that sort of thing. And then when it comes to Lynn's question, when it comes time to actually start looking, probably sophomore year is a good time to start doing some shopping. And we see a lot of students in sophomore and in particular junior year coming out to college fairs, and that's an excellent time for students and parents to start that shopping process.
And I will say, as the parent of a Georgia Tech graduate, I wish, looking back, and I only had one child, so I didn't get to do this. You know, you learn as you go along. I wish that we had started as a sophomore, going to a college. Never went to a college fair. It's been long. But I wish we had gone then. In junior, started really narrowing it down and had time for the visits and senior making that decision. Now, she did well and knew she was going to college and knew what she wanted to do, but I wish we had looked a little bit more. I wish we'd had more counseling. I wish we'd had, from a public school standpoint, the counselors are just overwhelmed. And, you know, I wish we'd had more focus as far as how to get into some of the, Tech is a pretty prestigious school, but, you know, if she had, and to get access to some of those things.
And I'll tell you, I mean, I grew up in a situation where it was from my earliest years, I remember those conversations about that this is the expectation that you will go on to something beyond high school. Mm. No pushing either way in terms of what kind of institution, but you're going to do something. And I remember going to my Probe College Fair in Savannah, Georgia at Oglethorpe Mall when I was a junior in high school, and looking around then and realizing that even in a household that was aware of different options, that there were so many schools that I had never even heard of. And that was so exciting to see schools from all over the Carolinas and all up the East Coast and start realizing that, oh, wow, there are a lot of options beyond. Certainly a lot of options in state I hadn't considered, but there are a number of options beyond. Now that I work in higher education, I realized that there was a whole world that I had not even seen beyond that, and so many other schools that I wish that I had known about. And so it's a great dialogue to start with your student, to start thinking about what are you looking for? What do you want to be doing? And then what are some of the different types of schools that might help them achieve that?
So I want to sort of piggyback on that. It's as you said, thinking about as a student and the parents helping their students think about what you want, who you are, how you want to portray yourself. And so it occurs to me that as Lynn was sharing about how you strategically plan an organization, there's certainly a trend that we've seen that talks about how do you brand yourself. And so a lot of times that branding is about how an adult brands themselves to grow in their career, to move up the corporate ladder, to do whatever it is that they're trying to achieve. But Lynn, maybe you can help us think about that concept for parents and potential students. So we've got these great fairs, and you're going to go in and you're going to be talking to people, and yes, you're getting information, but I would assume that it's also that opportunity to impress the college.
Absolutely.
So how do we take these skills about branding and help parents and students think about how they might use them?
I think it's something that is critical to having the parents involved in helping but not doing for the student. One thing I think a parent can do, again, past history, is to start a list. So all those awards, the things they get when they're in freshman year, and sophomores, they go through the achievements that they have. You start making a list of those things. When they participate, the community service, which so many schools are emphasizing now, as a parent, you can help keep that organized. You can start a list on your computer or in a little notebook somewhere where you write that all down for your students. So when they're sitting there staring at that application form, you've got that all down there, just like a company would put down and say, these are the benefits and the features that we do. So you keep those features and benefits for your student. And then you help your student talk about what makes me different. They're going to have to write the college essay, the dreaded college application essay. And so what is it, if you can help them explore what is it that makes them different, what are the colleges looking for? The same thing that we do within a business standpoint. What is the college looking for? They're looking, and how do you fit that? How do you sell yourself to them for that? And so you can help them explore topics. I don't think you can write it for them. That's obviously immoral and illegal. But you can proof it if they'll let you. And then you can help guide them, and you can have some conversations and to find some quiet time to sit down and go, wow, you're really good as an athlete. What is it about being an athlete that you like? Is it being part of a team? Is it leading a team? talk about that. So if you can help them explore some of the characteristics that makes each person a unique individual, then I think you're doing your student a real service with branding.
Well, and I think, too, certainly thinking about it from the application standpoint is a critical time, because that's when you really need to be putting a lot of mental muscle behind that. But I would also say, looking at every interaction you're going to be having with your guidance counselors, with your teachers, with potential with college reps of schools that you may potentially apply to, really thinking about how you are presenting yourself. What's the image that I want to be putting across? So for just in the context of the college fairs, and I've been to several of the fairs that have been in Metro Atlanta over the past couple of weeks, and you can tell the students that have done their homework. They come in, some of them have on their iPhone or on a piece of paper, they've got a list of questions they want to ask. They are making the most of the time they have at that table with that rep. They know what to say about themselves. And I can tell you, as a former admissions recruiter here in the state of Georgia, a student that walks up to the table that is well prepared for the conversation with me, has really great questions to ask me, is able to articulate pretty succinctly that elevator speech you were talking about, can give me a good personal elevator speech. I remembered them, and made notes about them. And these were students that I wanted to make sure that we continue to dialogue with and continue to support and help them determine if my institution at the time was going to be a good fit for them. And you can tell that. I think that's one of the biggest things throughout the entire college search process that parents can help their students with, and be thinking about it even when they start this initial shopping at the college fairs. What do you want to know, and how do you want to present yourself to those colleges and universities?
Yeah, what would you say to a parent or even a student who says, I have my idea of where I think I want to go, and I'm already engaged with that school? Is the college fair still something that they should avail themselves of? How do you talk to those type of students and help them understand what the benefit they might get out of the fair?
You know, it's funny. Just this past week when we were at North Point, we were shooting some video footage and interviewed some parents and students. And I heard two different students say, I thought I knew who I wanted to come and see. I thought I knew where I wanted to go. And I still went and saw those folks. But while I've been here, I've seen so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. And now I'm really glad I had those conversations, because now I think I might want to look a little bit further into that school as well. And so it's a great way to continue conversations with a school that perhaps you're already looking at and seriously considering, but also start seeing what other options are out there. There also comes that point of, you know, I think students at some point in late junior year, probably early senior year, and Lynn, your daughter may have done this, they have to start doing some soul searching at some point as well, and really thinking about what is my likelihood if your top institution that you're convinced you're going to is a selective school. At some point, you have to have that conversation of, Do I have what it takes to get in? And do I even want to go there? And so making sure that you have, it's the proverbial, don't put all your eggs in one basket. But also I think using the fair as a time to explore and see what else is out there that could be fantastic fits for the student, in addition to perhaps a school or a couple of schools that they may already be very, very interested in.
Yeah.
And let me go back. You said something very interesting that I hit on that came to my attention when you said this a few minutes ago. You mentioned that they need to project this brand when they talk to their counselors and their teachers. If the student can go in, the parent can help them prepare this and say, remember to tell them, I'm interested in the school. I think I would be a good fit because I'm a da 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 da. Or even if they can give it, you know, if they can summarize what they feel like their strengths are. And by the way, those strengths for business or for personal should not make anybody laugh. Mm-hmm. You don't ever want to say, I am organized as your trapper keeper is exploding with papers, you know. You got to be honest. You got to be realistic about what you're doing. But if you can tell that person, by the way, this is who I am, student, athlete, leader, you know, whatever you're doing, dedicated, hard worker, if you keep reminding them of that, then that shows up in the letters that they have to write.
Yeah. So what is Probe's sort of biggest challenge in being successful in helping these students work their way through the process?
You know, I think it's helping students make the most of the opportunity. You know, Probe does a lot of legwork to year after year after year bring more and more and more institutions into the different fairs, and that's giving students that opportunity to explore those schools. One of the biggest focuses that we've had over the past couple of years is communicating directly to students in advance of their own fair to say, here are some of the things that you need to do in advance to get ready for this. At North Point, as I've already mentioned, at North Point Mall Tuesday night, there were over 180 colleges that were there. There were thousands of students that were there with their parents. You better be ready in that kind of an environment to take the most of the time you're going to have with each rep. And so that's one of the things that Probe has really taken on over the past couple of years is not just bring the fairs in, because that obviously is what we've been doing for years, but in particular, help make sure that students can be as prepared as possible to really take advantage and make the most of that opportunity, because it really can be a launching pad to the schools they end up exploring more deeply, doing campus visits to, schools they actually end up applying to. And so we want to help equip them to make the most of that. And sometimes that can be a challenge because, after all, we're recruiting or we are communicating with students that are 16, 17, 18 years old.
Oh, yeah.
And we all know how they tend to be from time to time, as brilliant as they all are. You know, so sometimes it's helping them realize this advice really can make a difference and really can impact the way that you experience and really make the most of this opportunity.
Yeah. So, Lynn, I'm going to segue back sort of to the top of the show where we were talking about Cracker Jack marketing. So what's your biggest challenge that you have as you think about growing your business in the next couple of years?
You know, as a consultant, being out on my own, there's always that balance between bringing in new clients, finding and bringing in new clients, and getting all the work done. And I think that's a perpetual problem that we face when we're small or large businesses. And I think that would be my greatest challenge that I've got in front of me.
Yeah. So give us sort of that wisdom of advice for us business owners who, as you said, are trying to position ourselves. If there was just one thing that we could do to help really set ourselves apart and kind of get our brand out there in the marketplace, if I only had time for one.
I would tell you to put yourself in your customer's shoes. I would tell you to go out and listen to your customers first, to talk to them, to see what they like, see why they're buying. If you're not the person doing the selling, talk to the people who are, because what you think may be going on out there, the reason that they're buying you may have nothing to do with the quality of your dog food, and maybe because they like your pink bag. So find out what it is that people like, and then make sure you deliver that.
Yeah. And so, Jennifer, you've given us a lot of great advice, but I'm going to kind of turn that question to you because as I'm not a parent, but I have lots of friends who are going through this, and even though they've been through it, even with maybe a previous child, it's overwhelming. And so if you could just give them that one kernel of advice to do something this weekend or something to help them better prepare to be stellar at a college fair, what would you tell them?
There's a lot to do, but I think to start, depending upon where their student is, if they've not had conversations yet, if your student is perhaps in that sophomore year, definitely if they're a high school junior, if you haven't had the conversation yet about, you know, what are you thinking? What are you thinking about after? Where do you think you want to go? Assuming that you've been having those conversations all along, that college is where we're headed. Have them talk about where their brain is in terms of what they're interested in. What do they think they enjoy studying? What are their what are some of the subjects in school that they really find appealing? What are some of the things they like to do in their spare time? And start that conversation of, so how does that translate into the rest of their lives? And then what types of academic and out-of-class experiences they may want to be having when they go on to college or university, and start that conversation there if you haven't had that yet. Because once you've got some of those pieces set, I think it becomes easier for students and parents to look at that long list of schools and start thinking about who may or may not fit the bill at the end of the day for who their student is, what they're good at, and what they really want to spend their time doing.
Okay, so at the end of every show, I always ask this question. So I'm going to actually ask it twofold, given kind of what our conversation was today. And that question is, you know, as you think about where you are today in your business, and you do, although you're representing Probe, you do other things in, right, in the marketing space. Give our listeners that advice. What would you tell your 20-year-old self today? That, you know, if you were 20, what would you tell yourself about what you might do different, or some words of wisdom about kind of your career trajectory and things that you've worked on?
Lord. Now I found that whole thing of out-of-class experience. Was that the drinking part? Was that the part that...
That's not what I said.
I know you did. But I went to one of the best party schools in the nation, just right down the road. Gosh, I would tell my 20-year-old self to go to class and pay attention. I would have gotten more out of college from that standpoint. I would have been a little bit more adventurous, I think. I might have taken that job in Spain, even though I speak no foreign languages. I would have stretched a little bit further.
You know, I think for me it would have been to broaden my own horizons in terms of what I thought I would be doing. And I'm sure many of us in the room and certainly in listeners can relate to this. What your degree may be and is nothing close to what you're doing now. And so thinking about, you know, this might be what I'm interested in when I'm 20, 21, in terms of a major or a topic, but what are the different skill sets that I need to be weaving together that are going to be valuable to me regardless of what I end up doing professionally? And that's things like writing, knowing how to think from a business standpoint and organize numbers and plans and that sort of thing. And so what web of courses and experiences through, in class work, internships, that sort of thing, are going to give me that experience. And so if I had only known then what I'm doing now, I would have majored differently, but I would have also taken different classes, those that I looked at and I said, oh, no, I don't think I will never have to do anything related to accounting or business. Therefore, I don't need to take any of those classes.
Oh, no, I didn't.
That's a famous last word, huh?
I might have taken radio, TV, film, but yeah, it was first period. That was mighty early.
Yeah. Well, you've been a great audience, and I hope our listening, group of guests, and I hope our listening audience, although we've taken sort of a little different twist in what we've been talking about today, what you're going to find is that Growth Matters is going to talk about things that are very specific to a particular industry or a particular business, but we're also going to talk about those issues that speak to larger, more strategic growth issues that we as a community and we as a country need to think about. So we hope that you continue to listen and join in and enjoy what our guests can share with you to help you with the things that you're struggling with. So, Lynn, how does the listening audience learn a little bit more about Cracker Jack and be in touch with you?
It is www.crackerjack, just like the candy treat, -marketing.com.
Great. And Jennifer, you shared, I think, the website a little bit earlier, but if you could again as well.
I did, yeah. There's two places listeners can go, gaprobe.org or facebook.com/GeorgiaProbe.
Well, great. Well, you have been a great audience. I hope you've got some great stuff planned.
It's been tremendous fun. Thank you.
Thank you.
For the weekend, it looks like it's a pretty weekend.
Finally.
So we need that. And so join us next Friday at 10 o'clock. Let's talk about growth, because
Growth matters.